Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN with Tracy Myers and Charlie Romeliotis from CSNChicago.com. A lot to get to on this free agency edition of the Hawks Talk Podcast. Who they can target, discuss the moves already made, and some of the rumors that are out there. But first, Vivid Seats is your one-stop shopping for all Chicago sporting events, tickets this summer, as well as concerts, theater, and a whole lot more. Go to VividSeats.com to grab your tickets today, and make sure you subscribe to the Hawks Talk Podcast on Apple Podcasts. All right, guys, let's start with the roster as we tape on Wednesday. Saad returns to that Taves line, obviously, with Richard Panik. And then Q said on Saturday at the draft that Schmaltz will likely be the first to get the crack in Panarin's vacated spot. Do you expect Bowman to upgrade or, you know, stick with the Schmaltz experiment? Or do you look for that veteran to take that left winger spot with Kane?
I wouldn't be surprised if they at least start the season and give that a look, because, you know, it worked pretty well on a short-term basis last year. I mean, Schmaltz was at center, and I know that I think that's more his natural position, but at the same time, a lot more responsibility and everything. I think he'd be a little more at ease at the wing. I personally still think that more of their needs are at defense right now. What they can afford, who the heck knows, but I wouldn't be surprised. They're not terrible at forward. They're decent shape, so I wouldn't be surprised they at least start the season and give that a shot.
Yeah, I remember last year, I think it was, we all thought Hossa was going to start the line. He's going to start the season on the third line, and then Quinville threw a wrench into things and just went back to the normal line. So I think he'll do that to start it out and then kind of juggle as the season goes on.
Kruger remains on the roster right now. Are you surprised that deal that we thought was imminent, that was for sure going to go to Las Vegas, is still in limbo?
I am not surprised. I believe there's a signing bonus that he's due July 1st. And now once that's all taken care of, I still wouldn't be surprised. Because they still have a cap issue. You know, as of Wednesday, according to Cap Friendly, and with some of the filler depth deals that they've made the last couple of days, they're still about $3 million over. So, defensively on forward, if he goes, it's a hell of a opening, one more. But I don't know how they can keep him with the current situation.
By the way, I like the warning you put out on Twitter today regarding Cap Friendly and getting punked from non-verified accounts. Do it for our podcasters right now.
Yeah, well, I'll do the short abridged version. Just please look at Cap Friendly as often as possible, because it's a wonderful resource. You know, it was during the expansion draft all the way through. Look for followers. You know, Elliot Friedman, even I had to check for
more than 11.
Mark, yes.
Elliot with three T's.
But underscores.
Yes, but when I saw Panarin for Saad, even trained veteran me is, okay, that's got to be the right account, right? Because you just expect to see that from the bogus ones. Not always the blue check mark, though, because there are some very good people. Renaud Lavoie in Montreal, Scott Powers here, who do not have the blue check mark, who certainly should have it.
Right.
But check followers. For God's sakes, check cap space. If your team is $3 million over, example here, they're not going out and getting the $6 million guy, or at least it's pretty unlikely. But that's pretty much the gist is, you know, it's Twitter, folks. Be smart.
Yeah, it sounds too good to be true,
it probably
is. Like, we were all dreaming last week that they were going to get T.J. Oshie and somehow magically come up with the
$6 million, $7 million.
Yeah, and an hour later, he signs an 8-year extension.
Yeah, well, you know, that's
stand
how it
down,
goes.
People.
All right, so let's get back to the forward situation. And a little bit later on the podcast, we'll talk about the defense. Hartman, Caro, John Hayden, likely I'm all back. Hinostroza will be in the mix. Yurko was a bit of a surprise to me. He'll be back.
Yeah.
And Rasmussen will not.
Yeah.
Anything jump out to you guys there?
Yeah, the Rasmussen for sure jumped out at me. I thought, because we had all penciled him in as the fourth line center. Mm-hmm. So now, I mean, now you're looking at, you know, we were going to try to fill out the bottom six, and we figured that Caro and Rasmussen were going to be 3-4 at the center position. Now you got to fill an important void at the fourth line center. And now I don't know who you go. Now maybe you look at the market and maybe you move Schmaltz to center. And I don't agree with that. But
yeah.
Now you're weighing a lot of options.
Yeah, with Rasmussen, I heard apparently that it looked like they were going to be doing a deal last year even. And apparently the camps could not agree.
Right.
It would certainly explain why all of a sudden Rasmussen, who was the stalwart in the lineup, all of a sudden was a healthy scratch more often than not, despite
right.
the fact that he's a good guy to have in that lineup. He's a good depth guy. He's a bigger Kruger and somebody could throw in a penalty kill.
Yeah, here's a couple things on that. Yes, I heard the exact same thing basically they wanted to do an extension with him, and his camp had a different thought on mm-hmm. what he is worth a year, and it was, you know, drastically different from where Stan and the Hawks thought, and it soured the team.
Yep.
And that's a big reason why they signed Carroll. Carroll yep. was then plan B on that one. Here's my take on Rasmussen. I think all in all had a pretty good regular season.
Yeah.
I think they always looked at him to say, like, play up to your size. And
sure.
I don't think he has that edge to his game.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we've been talking about since the ousting by the Predators is finding players with that edge.
Sure.
And you can ask a guy to do it, and you can plead with them, and you can say, this is what we want your role to be. Eventually, the guy has to go out and do it.
Yeah.
And there are others, maybe some questions about him playing through pain and hurt. So, didn't totally shock me that Rasmussen is not back in the picture.
Right. I just viewed him more as a Quinville guy. Like, Yurko's, he comes to me as a Bowman trying to make it work. And Quinville, Rasmussen is a Quinville guy.
Yeah.
So that was surprising to me that they didn't at least, you know, extend the offer to at least fill out the bottom six the way Q would want.
Yeah, I do feel, and again, we're not trying to overreact to the Nashville situation, but I do feel, and again, I don't want to stereotype European players, but I do feel that if there's a way the Hawks are going to go between edge and no edge,
yeah.
they're going to go edge until they find a couple of those. And, I mean, I'm not saying Saad is exactly and the Panarin thing, but I, you know what I mean? I think that gives you a little peek into what they think will make their team ultimately better.
Yeah. Well, Saad plays like a bull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the element they've missed the last 2 years. And, you know, it wasn't the only thing they missed, but absolutely you miss that guy. And, I agree with you on Rasmussen playing to his size, you know, and I go back to him because we always do, you know, speaking of the Europeans, you have a guy like Hossa who was just always so strong. And, you know, I mean, he wasn't out there to be a bully, but at the same time, you weren't taking the puck away from him, and you were going to really have to fight him for possession and everything. You need as many of those guys as you can get.
We heard some rumors that there's interest in UFA Sam Gagne, 27-year-old center, could be used on the power play. Also from Brian Hedger, heard a report that there was some interest in Patrick Sharp. That surprises me. That goes against the Tracy Myers recycled Blackhawk forward thought process.
If you're in the mid-30s, yeah.
Yeah, mid-30s. You know, just because you have a high Q rating with the fan base
yeah.
doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work on the ice. You know, the hip situation that he's got, you know, people are like, well, it might be a Brian Campbell type thing. Well, okay, but where are we going to put him? Because he wasn't playing on the left wing on the second line when he left.
Yeah.
What makes you think 2 years later he's going to be in that spot? So now you're going to have him in a bottom six role. And is that
where he's going to excel. So that one doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
No, and now 2 years ago when he did finish on the third line, his line mates were Antoine Vermette and Teuvo Teravainen, and that's a pretty good third line. But that was just the depth that they had at the time. And yes, it has nothing to do with, you know, I don't dislike, you know, mid-30-something ex-Blackhawks, you know, is a middle-aged person myself. I'm not going to knock anybody on age.
Amen. But, amen, sister.
But that's a hell of an injury, I would think, in a surgery.
Yeah, it was like a four months at least. 4 months, okay.
So, I mean, that's a tough one. Had the surgery in April, and I mean, if he's progressing at a decent clip, that's fine. But, boy, that's a heck of a thing to come off of, I would think.
Yeah, the only way it makes sense to me is if he takes that huge discount, like a Brian Campbell friendly deal, but he's not going to be that. He's not playing a top six role. Like, if you think he's going to be taking a discount and he's going to jump in with Sod and Sharp Sod and Taves on the first line, that's not happening. But if you want to bring in Sharp, because Sharp is always known to have speed. I mean, obviously he's not the same player he was 3-4 years ago, but he's not a Johnny Oduya where once the speed goes, like, you're toast. So to me, if you want to bring him in at $1 million, 1.5 tops,
oh geez, yeah,
that's okay, at least to me, only because now we're filling out our bottom six without Rasmussen in the picture. Now we're filling out our top six, and I mean we're scraping for guys. And now, you know, because Hartman is going to be playing a sizable role in the top six, or probably in the third line, but he can jump into the top six if he wants. Nick Schmaltz. So now you're asking all these young guys to come into the picture all at once. And if you want to bring Sharp back, that's fine with me at the right price. But don't expect him to play a huge role. Like, he's there to get the culture back. And
this is where being up against the cap and not having any flexibility, like, I would say it's a no-brainer to take a flyer if you were comfortably under the cap.
Yeah.
And you said, all right, you know what? He wants to come here. He's going to do it for $975, or he's going to do whatever. Let's see if there's some magic. See if 10 still has it. And if it doesn't work, no harm, no foul. You know, it won't, you know, hurt us cap-wise. But with the cap situation that we have right now, every dollar matters. You can't afford to make a mistake on a flyer.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and also, you know, you look at what they did with Brad Richards a couple years ago, where he was coming off that buyout in New York and everything, still had some gas in the tank, one last chance to win it all. But you had a definitive need for him.
You know,
he still had enough to be a second-line center. He still had enough to where he didn't have to be the guy anymore, and he was perfectly fine with that. But they also had a wonderful amount of depth on a forwards group at that time. So if it didn't work out, cost you $2 million, weren't as much of a pinch, and you could say, okay, but it did, but totally different situation.
Are we all in agreement that Artem Anisimov is for sure back? Like, could he be another piece of the puzzle that could be dealt if you could say, well, you know what, there's a better way for us to spend the 4-5-5 cap hit that he is. We could find somebody for three and then spend another 1.5, another. I mean, do you see that, or do you think, because again, it goes back to my play through pain, you know, go to the net at all times, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I still don't think Stan is done. Like, I think Kruger is for sure moving on. And like, to me, like, we talk about the Sharp thing. I mean, I'm only bringing him back if that's, like, he's not a guy that on July 1st I'm calling right away. Like, he's a fallback option. Like, I would look at Sam Gagne first for sure. And then in the big picture, I'm looking at, you know, how I can, if I can squeeze one more guy in there, that's when I would look to Patrick Sharp. And if you do move Anisimov, I feel like that money would be used to kind of patch up the defense as well. And maybe the Hawks have been linked to Carl Alsner a little bit. And I don't know how you would make the money work from a standpoint right now. Like, you would have to move Anisimov for them to even make that work.
Yeah, I mean, listen, after last Friday, I'm not ruling anything out as an impossibility. Because,
Good point.
I said, if someone had... I wasn't, you know, Panarin was another one of those names that I threw out as a possibility because of the contract. Now, I didn't see that scenario happening.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, we've always gone through so many scenarios every year. But if you look at all the possibilities we've all lined up, most of the time the Blackhawks do something that we never really expected to come out. So could it happen? I am now of the belief that anything could happen because you still have a team with a heck of a cap situation, still waiting to figure out what to do with Hossa, although I don't foresee any issue there in terms of them being allowed to do the LTIR. But, yeah, you've got a hell of a cap crunch and you've got needs. But then, again, you open up, you need a second-line center again.
Quickly on Hossa, you know, I had thrown out last week, like, I could see them dealing the contract like the Flyers did Chris Pronger. Here's the catch on that one. First of all, the team would have to be dramatically below the cap and be okay with that. And you'd have to be giving them another asset. Yep. Two, Hossa would have to sign off on it. And it would be an admission in a way that he probably wasn't coming back ever.
Yeah.
So he'd have to like come, you know, like if you say, hey, Marion, we've got this we're going to trade your contract to Arizona. Like, you know, whoa, I'm only taking a year. I really think I'm coming back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't – like, if he really thinks he's coming back, he's not accepting – he's not going to waive the no trade.
Yeah.
But if he knows he's done, then he would. So it would also be sort of admission of exactly a definitive end to his career if he agreed to that. So that's another thing to think about.
I think that scenario is probably happening next summer once they have a better idea of whether Hossa is going to play. We never got your thoughts on Anisimov. Do you think he could be?
I do. Bad faceoffs. Does he have the grit to make a deep Stanley Cup playoff run? And I just – too much inconsistency. And playing through pain and things like that. So, you know, I don't want to diminish what he did because what he did was important and he had great production. I mean, he was a centerman on one of the best lines in hockey. One year it was the best. The next year it was in the team photo. I can't diminish his role on that. But I tend to think if Panarin is expendable – certainly Artem Anisimov is. All right, we're up against it. We're going to turn our attention to the defensive side and the fallout from the Hjalmarsson trade. Connor Murphy, we spoke to Q on Saturday. You know, you could tell the Hjalmarsson sting had not left him.
No.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He sort of said Connor Murphy's between a 3-4 and a 5.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought he was being nice to say 3 or 4. He was leaning more 4 or 5.
Yeah, I think somebody told me, but he was a depth defenseman on Arizona. So and he's 24. Okay, so there's room for growth and everything, but he's not Hjalmarsson. I mean, I think that's I'm not announcing news there. There's no doubt that stung him. You know, I asked him about the human side of this. We talk about the business side all the time in hockey, and I said, you guys go through so much together. You spend so much time around each other and the cups and everything, and spoke almost exclusively on Hjalmarsson. And, you know, I understand where both sides are coming from. Q is in the win now business. GMs are also, but they also have to look down the line a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock when Q said that. Those are the job descriptions. But for a coach who's looking to win now, who realizes, wow, this window's closing quick, that's a hell of a loss.
Charlie, do you think they need another top four defenseman?
Yeah, I just don't know how they're going to make it work unless they move someone else. You know, and I do think Joel Quenneville also is probably – I don't think he's looking just at the Hjalmarsson trade, but you also – they lost Trevor Van Riemsdyk as well. So now he's looking at a combination. Both those guys were hard Q guys to the core, and now both of them gone. Yeah, I could definitely see how Quenneville is saying we need to add more.
When you look at the defensemen that are free agents, Kulikov, Hainsey, Michael Stone, Cody Franson, Michael Delzato. Anything stick out to you from some of the rumors you've heard as far as possible free agents?
Yeah, I mean, I like Delzato as a possible option, but I don't think Quenneville would like Delzato as a possible option. I think he's more of a puck mover, and I think if they go that route, they'll look for somewhere in the $1.5, $2 million range, and they'll look for a stay-at-home guy to at least – please, Quinville on the penalty kill.
Yeah, the big names that are out there right now, this is not the most extensive unrestricted free agency that's ever crossed July 1st, and so there's a lot of guys out there who are going to get paid.
Yeah.
A lot of the big names, I just don't see the Blackhawks acquiring.
That's a wrap on this edition of the Hawks Talk podcast. Tracy, Charlie, great stuff as always. Reminder, Vivid Seats is your one-stop shopping for all Chicago sporting event tickets this summer, as well as concerts and theater and a whole bunch more. Go to vividseats.com to grab your tickets today. Make sure you subscribe to the Hawks Talk podcast on Apple Podcasts. That'll do it. Thanks for listening to the Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle, and we'll catch you next time.